All right, let's go back to John, and thanking God again that he's brought us here to study and to learn more of him and just have the Spirit minister to us. But praise God, I believe we're encouraged so much to hear the bridegroom's voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I believe by God's grace, there's a little handful here of the Philadelphia. And let's run and run well. Amen. And let's run to win. And let's be thankful and joyous for that ear that he has given us to hear the bridegroom in Jesus' name. I'll begin from verse 1, and then we'll pick it up in verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We'll stop there for right now. But brothers and sisters, I so love this. Praise God, Jesus is my life. He's my life, hallelujah. He's your life. And praise God, not only is he our life, he's our light, and he is light. He's the light of men, he is the light of us, for he is light. Now, from what we just read, is it any wonder why the world does not embrace you? As brother prayed, Lord, cause us to walk in the light. Matter of fact, the world cannot embrace the light, as we'll understand a little bit more here tonight. Doesn't apprehend it. But brothers and sisters, what is so beautiful, the world doesn't understand us. And the darkness, when the presence of light comes in, it's got to flee. And I love the power of the light. Hallelujah. And again, I hope this explains, brothers and sisters, our life in this world as we yield to who we are in Christ, what life lives in us, and when living that life, really, again, all darkness must flee. There's no fellowship with that darkness, and that is the power. Turn with me over to John 12, and we'll read a little bit about this power and how incredible God has given this in his Son. And in John 12, verse 45, he says, "And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Praise the Lord. And we're so grateful for that wonderful power. Because all the power, as we begin in this fourth verse, is his life. His life is light. And this life that he has, brothers and sisters, that he gives, is eternal life. And that is the light, or the enlightening, of all existence. Everything that exists. It's by him, it's of him, it's for him, it's because of him. But he is life. He's life. And I thank God for that. Everything about our existence is him. His life in us, praise God, to the ultimate, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you, his life in you, the hope of glory. His life, Christ lives in us. The moment, praise God, when we accept him as our Savior, hallelujah, we died, as it tells us in Galatians 2:20, and he comes to live, and that seed remaineth forever. In him, praise God, is all life. And that life, hallelujah, is the only light that there is in this world. All else is darkness. He is the light that is the lamp to our feet. And his life is the enlightening, or the light of all understanding. Amen. His life is the light for all understanding. You want to understand, that's why he's been made wisdom unto us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That wisdom, that light, who he is, all life, all existence is in him. Man, it just everything exploded. But it didn't, because by him all things consist. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful how he brings me to that place. But I want you to think about this. Truly, the greatest enlightenment, what the light is, and what the life is, and what the light shines, is grace. It's grace. It's all grace. And I thank the Lord for that, that the light, the enlightening to us, is grace. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, the God of all grace. And then in James 4:6, already kind of said this, he even gives the more grace. It's all grace. And I thank God that in our life, in our concerning, it was the gift of God. It was because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he gave his son, his plan of all grace. Amen. And how are we saved? By grace, through faith. And any growth there from there will all be in grace. And that is why we preach the grace and glory message. Because there's only one way glory happens. It's all the after effect of grace. It's true. That's why all glory is in him, he that is full of grace and truth. Amen. Praise God. We have so much to praise him about and for. So we thank the Lord for this, and we give him all this wondrous praise, which he is so due. But, you know, I don't want to get bogged down in a great scientific detail as to what light is. We could talk about that, and it's amazing. We could even get talking about what knowledge is. But I don't want to miss that simple, shining, so apparent truth, what the light is. It's grace. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that, because that is the reason. Again, let's just leap all the way ahead in that wonderful grace. That's the reason she descends from heaven, the bride of Christ, having the glory of God, and her light is all because of him, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Jesus. That's why she is like him, because she has taken all of him because of the grace of God. His life, his grace, his truth is the light of all men. And we are without excuse, brothers and sisters, because as it says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And who is he? He's full of grace and truth. That's what he wants you to know. See, you can't understand truth without grace. You can't. It's the grace of God that gives you understanding and truth. If you don't receive the grace of God, Christ Jesus, the Word, you'll read this and it will mean nothing to you. It'll be Bible literature as opposed to, praise God, the Word. The Word, him. Hallelujah, I am. I am that I am. All wisdom, all light, all life, everything, him. I love this in Proverbs 4:18. If you turn over there with me, we're going to be moving all over the Word of God tonight, so I'll try to slow down just a hair, but I'll tell you, when you get giddy, it's hard to, you got to pull the reins back. But in 4:18, it says, but the path of the just, and you remember those, I pray, those sermons we did on the just, the upright. It's those that walk in grace. It's so simple. It has nothing to do with our flesh. It has nothing to do with our works. It has everything to do with his life in us. It's the grace of God. So as it's saying here, the path of the just, those that walk, hallelujah, and grow in grace, is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Wow. That's why Pastor talks about light upon light. Amen. You see the light upon light? We walk in this. We dwell in this. We pray, Lord, I want all the things that the Spirit has to give to me. That's your will. All. Hallelujah. I believe the Word of God. And in that walk of light, it will grow more and more unto that perfect or complete day. Praise God. Now again, why do you think she descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light? It's him. It's because of grace. It's because of that walk. And it never altered. It's the truth. Hallelujah. The truth in love. It's the word of his grace. God, help us never to steer from that, brothers and sisters. We are in these weak vessels. We will err. We will make mistakes. We will fail. But by the grace of God, may we stay with the stuff always. May we keep the faith, that little strength of always believing the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 That we don't move from that. And oh, how he keeps us then. And oh, how that marvelous grace works effectually the word of God for us to believe in him, to believe that word. Hallelujah. But that's just it, brothers and sisters. I'm seeing it more and more. Truly, like never before, the importance of understanding, as we started out, that he is God. And especially in the way of everything, I'm talking about creation, everything made, everything held together, and by him, anything that has life and all things exist. He has to do it because he is God. He is God. And I don't want to wrestle with that. I want to embrace it. I want to thank him for it. The simplicity, again, of who he is. I'm so thankful to God, I don't waste my time wondering what things are about. Aren't you grateful to God? I have a son, and he's having to take these philosophy classes and different things in college, and there's one professor, and his heart really goes out to him. He loves this man. And there's a love for this man. But he feels so sorry for him because he can see that he is so tormented in trying to figure out why. And he says, Dad, I know. And I said, man, if I sent you to college to learn that, it was worth it. You know that you know. I don't need to waste time about that. We're redeeming time to know about I am. All of it. Hallelujah. All of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, in Hebrews 11:6, I love how it says so sweetly and powerfully. If you turn over there, Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So again, everything that we're hearing, believe him. Amen. We don't need to wrestle with it. I don't need to ask the questions. Well, was the world made, or all of this created in 7 days, 7 years, 7 million days, 6 days? Oh my goodness! I just know who made it, and he told me how many days it was. I'm going to settle with it. However, whatever he thinks about a day and what a day is, I know he's got it. So that's good with me because I know that there isn't anything that was made that wasn't made by him. I know that there isn't anything that exists at all that he didn't allow to exist and give life to. Praise God. I know that he has to allow, yes, Satan to do anything. I know that the evil, praise God, he has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. He's got all that. Those ones that got you in the sights, God was thinking about them long time back for your good. I know that's hard for us to grasp, but brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, believe it. Your life will sure be singing a happy tune. You're going to wrestle with all this and try to figure it out yourself and to try to, get your pound of flesh back or whatever. I was witnessing to my sweet brother going through some major things. There were some men that lifted their hand up against me like you can't believe. Did it hurt me? Yes. Was I bothered by it? Sure, I was. But I knew God was moving in my life. And that was right when he was taking me in to be your pastor. And I prayed about those things. And I knew they were trying to take me down and a lot of different things in the business and all of that. Well, it was a family. And I saw that family completely explode. And I'm not kidding. I saw that dad within 2 years die of pancreatic cancer. I saw his son go off to prison. I saw the daughter and the sister continue to have to testify against all this, and they lost everything. You just don't go there. And I'll tell you what, they'll dig a pit for you, and they'll fall into it. Believe God. Believe God. And know this for your life, brothers and sisters. We're the sons of God right now. And I'll tell you, I love my boys. And I love them probably too much. But I want to love them in the Lord. And then I couldn't love them enough. But I thank God how he loves us. But this is what it is, brothers and sisters. And then you see why the world, see, as it goes on to say, 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you believe that Jesus is? And that's why there's nothing more in a sense of is, because is answers it all. What do you want to say is? Right? What's is? That's all the first three verses of John, and then it all. Amen? That's the is. But here's what he's focusing with us. Praise God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't want to dwell, in a sense, on who he is. He wants to dwell on his love for us and what he wants to do, what he has for us. He's all about his wife. He's all about that spouse. That's what he's all about, and it is. And that's why this rewarder, this encouragement, the crown that he's given us in knowing the bridal message, hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hallelujah. Now you can see why the world is so lost, because go over to Romans chapter 1, 21. And I'm so thankful. See, the word answers everything. So now we see how, you know, he's everything. We give him all the glory. We give him all, he's it. He's all the majesty. And you see then why the world is so lost, because we go over to Romans 1, and in the 21st verse, this is what happens. Because that when they knew God, look at this. See, there's no secret here who God is. There is no secret. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, and that explains, as we go back to John here, verse 5. And in verse 5 it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, the darkness, brothers and sisters, is the effect of the fall. Every man that comes into this world is born dead in trespasses and sin. The only one, praise God, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And but that's just what it is. That was the curse. And we thank God that that every man, because this is going to magnify the blood of Jesus. This is going to magnify that there's salvation in no other name. Because not only does every life that's born is born and dead in their trespasses and sin, every life that comes into this world is enlightened by the Creator. And a lot of people want to disagree with that, but let's go right to the Word of God. Let's go to Titus 2:11. See, I know that Jesus would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know God intended that for us, for all men. But you go over to Titus, and let's see, 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I'm good with that. I get it. The grace of God, and that's the only thing that can bring salvation. And we know what brought salvation. We know what the grace of God is. It's Jesus. So here we go. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. In John 1:9. Let's go back to our book of John. Jump over a little bit to the 9th verse. That's John 1:9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So see, we're without excuse. Man is without excuse. The plan of God was, God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave it. He died for the sin of all men. All men. It's all there. Grace is there for everybody. And the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Think of that. You must reject it. You must deny it. You must refuse it. Because it's there for all men. Yes, it is. Because that is our God. And brothers and sisters, that natural man rejects the light. If you're going to stay in that dead state, you're going to remain dead. Go on over to John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Let's read that. How magnificent this is. John chapter 3, 18 through 20. He that believeth on him, he that believeth on Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because, you know what? You're dead and your trespasses in sin. And if you're not going to believe, you're going to remain right there. You're going to be dead. Because he hath not believed. Oh, and here it comes. In the name. In the name. We're going to get on to that a little bit more, but may we never be ashamed of the name Jesus. May it be the first thing on our lips. And on and on and on. That wonderful name Jesus. Because they not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you see that? When people don't accept Christ as Savior, it's because they love darkness more than they love light. That's it. You made a choice. You made a choice. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Can you imagine that? You're either for me or you're against me. That's why there is no fellowship with light and darkness. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It doesn't matter how buddy we think we are in those types of things, brothers and sisters. Eventually it's going to cut to the chase. Now I understand that we go through this world and we want to be lights to this world. We want to be kind. We see souls. Amen. But our fellowship, by the grace of God, better be with like precious faith believers. That's right. They're either going the way or you leave them. And God help us. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And you see in that so much self-righteousness. They just see man wants to just magnify self. That's what religious man is. That they just hate the light, but they love the dark flesh. Let me show you what I've done. Let me show you how good I am. Let me show you what I've been able to build and what I've kept in life. All the good deeds I've done. Well, if God wouldn't accept me, huh? No, God would one way. And that's the blood, the light, the life. Amen. Praise his name. But see, that's where ones that love the dark more than light. And that's the natural man, but for the grace of God, see? But for the grace of God, there go I, see? Yep, amen. So see, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And how precious and sweet it is to believe Jesus, isn't it? How wonderful it is to believe the word of God. I thank God I have the word of God, but I'm so thankful to God that he causes me by his grace to believe the word of God. He said it and it is so. I love to pray with people that God has given the prayer of faith and just to be so encouraged that thank the Lord for what he does and how he brings it. I'm looking at all of you and that many times and thank God to be able to pray with you, to pray for you and just that the Lord increase our faith to believe him. Amen. There's no power but of God. There's no power in our hands but of God. It's the Spirit that moves. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord so much. Shown us so many times in the Word of God. Is that soldier came and wanted that friend of his healed. Just say it, Lord. You're busy. We didn't need to parade around. He wasn't like that guy that was looking to get healed of his leprosy and was mad that the prophet didn't come, and who's this servant? And then what? I'm going to go wash in dirty Jordan? And seven times? Huh? God's choice. May we take God's choice. Amen? Think of that. Hallelujah. But the absolute simplicity of the gospel. But yet, in that simplicity, because it's the only thing that is simple. Man is all messed up. But the word of God is so simple in its absolute depth and beyond. There's no words to describe it, you know what I'm saying, and how complete it is and perfect. But yet, somehow, some way, Jesus brings it, the Lamb, and he does it, and we get it. It's him. Hey, praise his name. Thank you, Lord, for that simplicity. See, but when we refuse him, when we refuse the light, 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us that 2 Corinthians 6:14, you can just write that down. He tells us that the light, again, has no communion with darkness. And that's the verse that says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, again, the light has no communion with darkness. That's what this verse is saying as we go back here to John 1. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness cannot possess the light. Darkness, praise God, is going to remain in darkness. That's what it's going to do. See, darkness cannot possess or apprehend light. It reminds me so much of Sarah in the Old Testament. Every king that saw her, they wanted her. She's beautiful, stunning. Amazing. When she went into a land, the king's servants, king, you got to have this one. This is the most stunning one I've ever seen. And without fail, wherever she went, boom, it was magnificent. And we understand that Sarah represents the grace of God. And that's how it is. But see, the kings here, they represent the world. And what did they do? They tried to take her, didn't they? And tried to be with her, but they couldn't, could they? They had to give her up. Matter of fact, they threw her out. You'd think, now this is a powerful king, and that was just Abraham out there. Why don't they just go, you know, just take care of Abraham, keep her, and do all that? Oh, no. You're not touching my grace. Darkness cannot touch my grace. It's coming one way. My son. My son. And I'll give you more and more. And it's your all sufficiency in all things to superabound every good work. It's all there for you. But the world cannot have it. The darkness is going to be dark. So let's go on to verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now here we get the introduction of John the Baptist. And what a precious brother. Hallelujah. And isn't this something? As we learn the name John, as we started with, again, this is the apostle, the disciple John. His name means Jehovah, the giver of grace. Well, look at this. We got a double portion going on. We got another John. Jehovah, the giver of grace. And notice here, the word makes it known right off the bat. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Big difference here of who the word is in the first three verses. See, there's ones that'll try to lift up idols and so sad of worshiping saints and things of that nature. God makes it so clear. This is a precious brother. He's a man. And we thank God for this. But it goes on to say that John was not the light, but he was a witness. He was here to bear witness of the light. And brothers and sisters, this is just more encouragement to us. Remember, we're talking about this as the bridal story. We're talking about this in so many respects to take this as such a bridal message. Well, John, in bearing witness of the light, and as God had sent him to bear witness of this light, is just more encouragement to us that as we get over here in about chapter 14, 15, 16, we're going to see that God sent to us the Holy Ghost. You talk about a double portion. to bear witness of light upon light upon light. So again, we have so much type and shadow even within, praise God, our wonderful New Testament. So it's clear from what we've already read, there's a blindness to the light because the light was sent, but yet these people aren't seeing the light. Isn't that something? So if the light's there and you're not seeing it, you're blind. Your eyes need to be opened. Amen? So how God chose for this to be known was the light needed to be witnessed. And praise God for the witnesses of the light. And I'm speaking to them right now. This is who we are. We're lights to this world. We're ministering saints. Praise God. And this is so wonderful that this was one that witnessed, praise God, the light. And think about what a witness is. A witness knows what they're talking about. They should. Amen. You don't want to have a bad witness. And I'll tell you one thing. God's not going to have a bad witness. You're going to have a real good witness. And when you got a really good witness, I'm talking about an expert witness. And I'll tell you, when you're sent from God, you know what's going on. God sent you, you're a witness. Because you're encouraged of Him. But it's one who knows what they're talking about. It's one who's seen it. One who knows it. And one with experience. Praise God. The truth is what we're talking about. And this is what John knew. And any real witness of the light will never point to themselves. Isn't that beautiful? See, John never pointed to himself. Oh, we're going to read how the ones that came to see John, because there was such a power and a presence about him, they wanted to know why he was so special. They wanted to know, again, because they were talking about, you know, heritage, as we're going to get into this, is about, you know, what prophet are you? No, I'm just a witness. And I'm witness about the light. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. And that's the understatement of eternity. You're not getting it. I'm just here to bear witness of the light. Oh, I love it. And not only will they never point to themselves a true witness, but they'll only point to the light. John, praise God, encourages us as we witness the Word of God, truly encouraged of the Spirit. We're transparent when that happens. We want the Lord to be magnified. We want the Lord to be seen. And that's even when we're testifying to others. That's why, brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes, and I thank God for our testimonies and things, but do you see how man tries to actually begin to worship the testimony as opposed to the power that brought the testimony? And they'll travel all over the world, and then they begin to believe that there's something special about them because they have such a great testimony. And it's the truth. And God help us, because we're weak flesh. I love to testify of the magnificence of our Lord. But think about the Apostle Paul, the one, again, he's the apostle to the Gentile. He's the one that's given the dispensation, the housekeeper of, as you say, the domestic of the bride of Christ and that wondrous message. And the things that he went through and the things that he suffered and the things that, you know, God had brought through his life. Yes, they were told, but he didn't dwell on that. He would only even give those moments when God again told him to. But it had to be at the nth degree to say, okay, now I've got to boast about what God did for me. And he made it fully well known. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Amen? So this is what's so beautiful, again, about a true witness of the light. They're transparent. Only the light is seen. I love how Brother Hill used to say, sinisir, clear to the light. They only see the light. And see, that isn't that her again, the bride? It doesn't say it has, again, her glory and, you know, she's so beautiful in this regard. No, she has the glory of God. She has the glory of Him. This is why she's so beautiful, because she's like Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. The four living ones. They testify completely of the Gospels. Well, who's the Gospels writing about? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? All the different sights that we see and the power of who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Praise God. And this is who she is. And her light, again, is Him. It's Him. Everything is Him. So we praise God for this. But going on, this ministering saint, again, is any saint that testifies Jesus. And I want you to see this about yourself, brothers and sisters. And Paul was witnessing this in Acts 13:47. He's just talking to ones that are going to go out and preach the word of God and things, and let this be an encouragement to you. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So see, when he had sent them out, it was so precious. He had encouraged them to go out and preach the word of God, and that they were lights because they were ministering or witnessing about, praise God, the salvation of Jesus. So John is a precious brother, but ones, again, that go after worshiping him or any other saint, what a tragedy it is. What an abomination it is to God. And again, that's just somehow, some way, this flesh, it just loves to put up idols, doesn't it? And you think about even those that saw up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they knew better than this. Oh, let's go ahead. Oh, we got, you know, we got Moses here and we got Elijah. We're going to go ahead and we're going to put an altar to one and another, and then we'll put another altar to Jesus. And God, he put that down real quick. Boom! And as he held them together, because I'm sure there was a part of him that said, okay. It's God we're dealing with here, the Father. All right? And when they opened their eyes, they saw Jesus only. See, let that just speak to you right there. See, there wasn't going to be any worshiping a Moses or a Mary or a Paul or a Peter. Time and time again in the Word of God, even that one that's walking John through heaven, showing him revelation. Amen? And we know that that man, John, is the one that put his head and rested it right on Jesus' breast. Heard the word. Loved the word. And praise God, the disciple, it said that Jesus loved. But yet he's just walking around multiple times. He's falling down to worship that guy. And what does he say? Oh no, do it not. Do not do that. There's only one that's going to have that worship. Isn't that wonderful? Do you see? See how just what an abomination that is? See, the Father is about magnifying one thing, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, my bridegroom. And I sure love how much my Father loves the Son that I intend by the grace of God to marry. It makes me very happy. And I'm here by the grace of God that I want to magnify him too. Hallelujah. All because of grace. But see, that's the treasure, and that's our Jesus. And once again, the treasure was the one that sent him to bear witness. It wasn't of John. It wasn't of John's might. He was sent of God. Isn't that wonderful? See, it wasn't, well, John decided to go do something, or it was in John's being that he was going to do this. No, God sent him. Amen. How wonderful it is. And that's, again, just like Jesus sent to us the Holy Ghost. Amen? Jesus sent to us. Remember as he said, I got to go. Well, why do you got to go? Because, oh, there's so much more. I need a wife. Only one way I'm getting the wife, I got to send the witness. I got to send the comforter. I got to send the Spirit of truth who's been with you and shall be in you. Oh, and praise God, how I thank him. Again, for the Holy Ghost, God the Spirit, how he too ministers of the Son, the light. Going over to John 16:13 with me. Got to move here a little bit. But how wonderful this is. But in John 16:13, again, thinking of that one, that witness. The witness always bears witness of the light, or witnesses of the light. Now again, think of the Holy Ghost. This is the one, the Spirit of truth. You talk about the witness, the one that really testifies of the truth and the depths of the truth. Let's read what it says there in 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. See, even the Holy Ghost doesn't speak of himself. That's why we don't pray to the Holy Ghost. I know there's, see, people get off into that, oh, we better pray to the Holy Ghost. No. The only one that the Holy Ghost is witnessing of is Jesus. Amen? Know it. And then in verse 15, look what it says there in 16:15. Well, let's go back to 14. It says, he shall glorify me. See, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify me. Isn't that amazing? The Godhead, the Holy Ghost, is going to glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of mine, meaning he's going to take of mine and shall show it unto you. All the things of the Father, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall, meaning the Holy Ghost, shall take of mine and he'll announce them. He'll make them known unto you. Now John the Baptist had some mighty things to say. But oh, what he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Oh my goodness. But this is it. See, even the same thing. See, the witness is never different. The witness always speaks of Jesus. And the witness only gives of what Jesus is. Nothing else. Never points to himself. It's always the Lord. And how wonderful, wonderful that is. And it should encourage our heart. Going on back to John 1, let's read 9 and 10. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. So we'd read that. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Ever see those funny shows when they get the guy that really owns the company, these huge companies, and they throw him into the work line, way down the food chain? You know, he's like a billionaire, and they throw him in there, and he's kind of flipping burgers and talking to the guys, and they don't know who they're talking to. I kind of think that's kind of funny. This is really sad. But it's the truth. But brothers and sisters, it's amazing. Not only the light, not only the true light, brothers and sisters, but they didn't know him. They didn't know who it was. They're in darkness. They're blinded to this. Go on over with me to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word. Look at that. The old commandment is the word, which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, and write again the word, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. So again, this light. Ephesians 5:8 says it this way. And I love how this brings it out in Ephesians 5:8. He says, for ye were sometimes or once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hallelujah. So we see here, brothers and sisters, there was great darkness. And there still is, in a sense, great darkness. Even beyond that, as we read here in verse 10, not only darkness, but we see that there is a true, a real, a genuine light. So if there's a true, a real, and a genuine light, there must be a false light. And there is a false light. Oh, yes. Let's go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15 tells us, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So you never want your end to be according to your works, because that ain't going to stand. But you see, and we know this, he's just come to steal, kill, and to destroy, and he'll do it as subtle as he needs to do it. But when men refuse the light, they'll wander after false light. And it is beyond amazing to me, again, that he that made the world was in the world, and the world did not know him, because they were blind. Their eyes, they had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had ears, and they didn't hear. But I thank God, and I think of Simeon. And you think about how Simeon was looking for the word. Turn on over to Luke as we close this up. Because, see, this is, by the grace of God, I pray where we're at this time. This is what was offered to Simeon. This is what Simeon could have of the Lord in God's fulfillment of what God's best was for him. But it was all about seeing what he could see. It was all about apprehending what he could apprehend. It was all about believing what God had told him. And you look and listen to this in chapter 2, verse 30, of how excited this brother was as he sees the infant, this baby Jesus. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. See, there's something about that light, isn't there? It really is. And, you know, and I thank the Lord that, again, in him there is no darkness. Now, let's close this out. We're going to go through 11 through 13 here. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. See, isn't this wonderful? Yes, he came to the Jew, but the Jew did not receive him. He came to his own. And praise be to God for the plan for me. The plan for us Gentiles. Praise the Lord. This is the plan. And again, it was all to our gain. If you go on over to Ephesians chapter 2, we rejoice in how he brings this truth to us. In the plan of God, in verse 11, he said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Jesus Christ, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Praise his name. This is our plan. This is, hallelujah, our powerful. Now, let's go over to the purpose again that continues on in this, not only his people, but going over to the third verse, because how could you read that without not reading, hallelujah, the culmination of the story? In verse 5, it said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs as husband and wife, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh, so wonderful. And then we go back to our text here, and in verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word power, it means possession. It means to take for oneself. My goodness, you talk about that power that birthed you of God as a little Lord of all. That's power. That's Galatians 4:1. Don't ever forget that. We thank God with that. But merely by receiving him, brothers and sisters, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that grace just so amazing? How, in a sense, low the threshold is of salvation? Believe in my name. Believe in my name. My Savior, just believing on his name. And on his name for what? On his name for salvation. 1 John 5:13. I love how these verses come together, and you can write these down and rejoice in them. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. See, they're not written unto people that don't believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know that? This is for us. These are for the sons. But notice that. I want you to really emphasize that name. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, we got it in there a couple times, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on over to Acts 4. It makes it a little bit more clear what he's really trying to emphasize here about this name. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It has to be the name. That name. Colossians 3:17 says it like this: and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, why am I encouraged to emphasize this more and more? Because in our life, there's nothing more that's trying to defeat us than from the name of Jesus. I'm talking about how we pray. You pray in the name of Jesus. How many times I hear people say, in the name of the Son, or in his name. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be picky. The name Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. If you're persecuted or prosecuted for that, that's a good thing. But do not be ashamed of the name Jesus. At least once in the prayer. At least. In Jesus' name. It's not just something that we say. It's what we believe. It's everything is in his name. And not Lord. Not again, in a sense, the Son. But in Jesus' name. Know that. Know that. And 13, what a treasure for all of us. We are born of God. Just enjoy that tonight. We're born of God. John 5:1 tells us, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Isn't that something? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. How many religions does that just sink right there? Huh? You got to get, you know, you got to say all these things. You got to do this. Here's all the requirements. Here's our big list. Oh, Jesus. Believe on the name. Just believing on his name. That believes that Jesus is Christ. You see? See how beautiful he is? And we're born of God. We're born out of, from God. And that life is none other, as we started, than Jesus. And the wealth, the acceptance, the love, the favor, the potential, everything of Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, that's the life that lives in us. It's all there. I'd like to read these last verses as we close here. Go on over to 1 John if you want to, and we'll just enjoy as we close out. 1 John 3:9 tells us, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, because he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So I truly can say, as we wrap up in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. I know that was a lot. But when he's everything, you got to go. Praise the Lord. Appreciate your patience. Kept you a little bit longer, but I think you understand why. I thank the Lord for his goodness to us. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.